Bum or Joe Bub Mission Street. This is TabilePod.com, the weekend Georgia in English, coming to you from the Bay Area Impact Hub. Today is Thursday, the 30th of January, 2014. On this date, in 1649, King Charles I is beheaded. Nothing glorious about a beheading. For you moviegoers out there, on this date in 1703, the 47 Ronin in Japan avenge the death of their masters. 1847, Yerba Buena, California is renamed San Francisco. The old name is still quite popular in my neighborhood, the Lower Haight. 1933, Adolf Hitler is named the Chancellor of Germany. 1948, Mahatma Gandhi is assassinated by a Hindu fundamentalist. 1956, Martin Luther King Jr.'s home is bombed in retaliation for the Montgomery bus boycott. 1968, the Tet Offensive begins during the Vietnam War. 1969, the Beatles' last public performance on the roof of Apple Records in London. The impromptu concert is broken up by police. 1972, 13 unarmed civil rights demonstrators are shot dead by British Army paratroopers in what became known as Bloody Sunday in Derry, Northern Ireland. 1982, Richard Skrenta writes the first computer PC virus code. Birthdays today are Gleb Kotelnikov, inventor of the parachute, Franklin Roosevelt, Gene Hackman, Vanessa Redgrave, Dick Cheney, and Christian Bale. By the way, if you haven't seen American Hustle, see it. On this date, Veriko Anjapadidze, well-known actress, died in 1987. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks for posting on our forum. These two from Simon. Referring to the firm's the GCF is meeting at the Davos hullabaloo. U.S.-based farm machinery giant AGCO has been distributing tractors here through local company World Technic for quite a while. Also from Simon, we here on the podcast said that the partnership fund has no representation in Davos. Actually, GCF does. The chairman of the supervisory board of the partnership fund is Prime Minister Irakli Kharibashvili, who is present in Davos. And this from Sefia Karta, who, by the way, is worth following on Twitter, related to Abkhaz issues especially. And I quote, Russia did not extend its border into Abkhazia. The only thing that was extended is the border zone inside Abkhazia and only for the duration of the Olympics. This seems sensible for security reasons and needn't be controversial, except that the Georgian government is intentionally making a fuss about this. Absolutely agreed. Let's see how soon after the Olympics they change it back to where it was. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. A video with footage of former government officials planning a special operation was uploaded on YouTube. In the video, people in military uniforms discuss a military operation outdoors. A helicopter appears and former Interior Minister Ivano Medvedev walks over and addresses the men in military uniforms. Quote, I need two men, two corpses. Bring me two corpses. That's it. The reward is going to be big. End quote. He tells them to act immediately and yells at them to talk to Erekle Kodua, the then head of the criminal police, and Data Khalaya, the then head of Kudi, for further instructions. The Mukhrovani military drills base is mentioned. After Medvedev's order, the military men head in different directions. Former Minister of Justice Zudadeshvili arrives on the scene, as do Misha and Gigi Ugulava. This five-minute video was uploaded to YouTube by an unknown user with the account named Apollon Osman. The user's account was created just prior to uploading the video. According to unofficial reports, the video was recorded while the former government was trying to neutralize the mutiny of a Georgian Army tank battalion based in Mukhrovani on the 5th of May 2009. One of the rebels, Gia Krialishvili, was killed during the operation, and another, Koba Otanadze, was wounded. As a reminder, after the government announced it had uncovered a Russian-backed plot to destabilize Georgia and assassinate Misha, a tank battalion began to disobey orders and began a mutiny. Later, Georgian authorities retracted their accusations of the assassination plot and allegations of Russian support. Head of PR at the prosecutor's office said that they will investigate the video. Irakli Gedenidze, Misha's former photographer, said that the video was filmed by the Interior Ministry during the mutiny, since only the ministry's cameraman was there at the time. One of the soldiers on the base, Levan Amiridze, who was convicted as part of the Mukhrovani mutiny and later released during the political prisoner amnesty, said that the individuals who attacked the base each got 12,000 lari for participating. According to him, the video footage was shot on the 5th of May. Lado Bedukadze, who released the infamous Gildani prison torture video, posted a picture of the dead Gia Tsiskarishvili on his Facebook wall. He wrote, quote, "This is on you, Vano. Even the dead Gia Tsiskarishvili is better than you," end quote. Tsiskrialashvili. Vano commented on the video, quote, "I am right and not ashamed that I made this statement. Two Russians were participating in this mutiny, and the organizers of the mutiny killed them. I ordered them to find those two corpses to prove that there was a link between Russia and the mutiny," end quote. Being on the 1st of March, 2015, all vehicles will need to undergo technical inspection by the German Technical Inspection Association to ensure European standards. There will be 22 testing centers that will provide mandatory periodic testing. As a reminder, mandatory vehicle inspections were canceled in 2004. Currently, there are around 900,000 vehicles registered in Georgia. This is fantastic news, and we will follow it closely. As everyone knows, Georgian cars are in terrible shape and are an environmental menace for everybody in the world. Most Georgian cars are used from Europe, come in with catalytic converters that are cut out at the border with bolt cutters. This is a great project, and we will find out what we can and keep everybody informed. This will hopefully make cars more expensive in Georgia by a little bit so that there might be slightly fewer of them, which would be a big step forward. Good job, Otsneva. Good job, Germans. According to the U.S. Embassy in Tbilisi, the National Food Agency of Georgia discovered lead in one brand of salt on grocers' shelves. The product has been taken off shelves, allegedly. The U.S. Embassy released a statement saying, quote, "If you have this product, Echo Georgia, in your kitchen, you should put it out for trash pickup. Do not use this product in your home for any purpose," end quote. And good on the U.S. Embassy for letting out some consumer information. There's not much of that around, and there should be more. Positive and negative. Nobody sees any information on what to buy, not to buy. If anybody sees any information on what to buy, what not to buy, and what to throw away quickly, please inform Tpilpod.com. Following up on Vano Medvashvili's trial, Tbilisi City Court investigated the 26th of May 2011 demonstration, began with questioning of witnesses and participants, including Zaza Papuashvili, Soso Jinchvaliani, Luka Kurtanidze, all of whom represent the People's Assembly and anti-Misha group, and Becca Javakhadze from the Public Defender's Office. Vano is accused of exceeding official power when ordering the dispersal of this protest in 2011. As a reminder, the demonstration was violently dispersed by the police, causing several deaths. During the questioning, Javakhadze said that he was detailed and beaten up. Jinchvaliani said he saw the half-naked Kurtanidze being beaten by police who photographed him to humiliate him. Papuashvili said two rubber bullets hit him, but no one beat him that day. The next hearing in the trial will be held on the 3rd of February. A word about those events. It was the day before a very military and martial Independence Day parade, the night before, in fact. The so-called demonstrators were not demonstrators in the traditional sense. They were specifically there to get a response out of the government. They had white plastic, long plastic tubes. They were all men, mostly older men. In my view, they were paid. What Misha and Vano should have done was to move the parade for the purposes of peace and simply avoid the area in front of Parliament where these few scores of men were based. But they didn't, and instead they set a deadline and came in and beat the heck out of everybody, and mayhem ensued. It was a classic example of two groups of stubborn men pushing each other around for the benefit of onlookers. Prime Minister Khadabashvili created a Security Council consultation group that will work on security issues. Vice Colonel Mindia Janjelidze, head of the counter-espionage department at the Interior Ministry, was appointed head of the council. Members are the ministers of foreign affairs, defense, and finance, who are simultaneously also members of the National Security Council. National Security Council, which was formerly headed by Giga Bokeria, has an almost identical set of duties and responsibilities. UNM and Bokeri in particular have complained that this is an unnecessary duplicate council. As a reminder, the National Security Council is the President's advisory body and the Prime Minister is a member of it. President Mark Velashvili commented that the new council can manage critical situations operatively and make concrete legislative decisions while the National Security Council is busy working on strategic and global tasks. He said even if the two councils will have the same duties, it's not really a problem. To clarify, the Georgia National Security Council was named and modeled after the U.S. version, although it was never particularly similar. What the American version does is clarify and put before the president international policy choices. The Georgian version was more of a location for Giga Boketti and others to operate on any and all that he wanted to operate on, and a location where emergency meetings could take place when there was a problem. Like so many parts of the executive, its role has never been particularly clear. BI started an NGO called Citizen, or Mokalike, which he himself will lead. The organization's stated mission is to strengthen civil society. According to Transparency International, Georgia's director, Ekagi Gaudi, the environment for NGO, quote, the environment for NGOs will change if a stronger player appears, and that's good, because we will have a competitor or a co-thinker, end quote. BI scheduled a meeting with media representatives for the 28th of January, but it was later canceled because he had the flu. According to the registration documents, BI is listed as the founder and chairperson. Gio Shabanadze is the executive director. Shabanadze is currently the head of PR at the National Library. The NGO doesn't have a board. The founder, meaning Bidzina, will make all decisions on issues related to more than 10,000 lari. On the 27th of January, former prosecutor Archil Kpilashvili registered his new NGO called Georgia's European Choice that intends to work towards promoting European values. As a reminder, Kpilashvili resigned in November 2013. On the 27th of January, the Supreme Court abolished Misha's 2011 decree and restored BI's Georgian citizenship. As a reminder, BI was both a French and Russian citizen when Misha granted him Georgian citizenship in 2004. However, Misha revoked BI's Georgian citizenship after he declared that he would go into politics. Before running for office, BI renounced his Russian citizenship. BI handed all the gifts he received as prime minister to the chancellery, where they will be on display. The gifts include painted canvases, a watch from Ilya II, a very expensive one, a carpet from Azerbaijan, Belgian cups, Ukrainian vodka with four cups, and a music box, a Central Asian bathrobe with a hat and whip. I don't know if it's actually a bathrobe, but okay, that's what we heard. A Kiev Dynamo t-shirt, a Jewish medallion, an Armenian 40-year-old cognac Adadat, a large painting of Israel, an American icon, an Abkhazian map on leather, a handmade icon of Jesus Christ, a golden clock, and much more. According to Prime Minister Khadivashvili, the EBRD annual meeting will be held in Georgia between the 14th and 15th of May in 2015. The announcement came after Khadivashvili and EBRD President Sir Suma Chakrabarty met at the World Economic Forum in Davos. On the 27th of January, Khadivashvili said that the government will fund four religious denominations with state funds in addition to the Orthodox Church. These will be the Armenian Church, Muslims, Roman Catholics, and Jews. They will become eligible for state funding in the form of compensation for Soviet-era repression. They'll receive 4.5 million lari in total, which will be divided among them proportionally, whatever proportionally means. Khadivashvili also said that funding for Lutherans would be considered in the future. The Patriarch commented, quote, the Soviet regime damaged other religions too, apart from the Georgian Orthodox Church, and this step from the government is an expression of justice, end quote. Khadivashvili's comments that we'll post on the forum said some people say that there is more religious conflict, but that's not true. We're even giving money to other religions. I think this is a bad step. Oh, sorry, end quote. I, Mark Mullen, think this is a bad step. The government under Misha, as well as now, gives lots of money to the church, and it should give none to any churches. God knows they have plenty of money of their own. Ask anybody who has ever traveled with some priests or bishops, particularly internationally. What's needed is clear words from the government related to the church's support of violent action by its allies, using the church as a cover, and its support for nutty and government criticism of the church's support for goofy policies. In a letter to the Russian magazine, Russia and Global Politics, Khadivashvili argued that the Russian side could improve the current political situation. In the introduction, Khadivashvili specifies that he wrote the article prior to the Sochi Olympic Games in the hopes that the Games will take place peacefully. He said it was very difficult for the Georgian side to participate in the Olympics because Sochi is so close to Abkhazia. The prime minister wrote about improved relations with Russia, but noted that the situation is deadlocked because Russia isn't going to renounce its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and Georgia never will recognize this. At the end, however, Garabashvili writes that a quickly changing world demands non-standard approaches, and when interests are compatible, it's possible to agree on a great deal. Sakyan Muzayev, a former Russian and Arabic translator for the Refugee Ministry, said at the press conference that the Interior Ministry's counterintelligence unit pressured him to testify against former Deputy Interior Minister Gia Lord-Kipanidze and Sandro Amiradze, former head of the Counterterrorism Center in Kakheti, a connection with the very messy Lapan Kuri incident of August 2012. Muzayev said that the harassment started last spring when he was brought to a factory in Tbilisi and then three times to the Interior Ministry. He said he was kept for over 3 hours. Muzayev added that he attempted to leave Georgia several weeks ago but wasn't allowed to fly for reasons that were not explained to him. Sopo Shamanide was named the country's new ethnic minority issues advisor. Shamanide is a professor of modern Greek philosophy at Tbilisi State University. She's also a member of the editorial board of the magazine Phasis. She was a recipient of the Alexander Onassis Foundation scholarship and has received the President's Fund scholarship twice. On the 29th of January, former Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili demanded a lie detector test to prove that he was taken to the chief prosecutor and threatened. As a reminder, the prison ministry investigated whether Vano was taken out of his cell and later announced that the prison video camera footage had already been deleted. French court held the first hearing on the extradition of former defense minister Dato Kezadashvili in Georgia and left him in custody. The court refused to release Kezadashvili until the Georgian side considers the issue of extradition. The next hearing will be held next week. As a reminder, Kezadashvili is accused of corruption. He left Georgia after the October 2012 elections. Chief Prosecutor's Office detained former head of the 5th Division of Kuti, Valeri Metrovelli. He's charged with inhuman treatment and illegal detention of Vamech Abulashvili and Kaha Dabrudashvili. Former head of the same department, Data Achalaya, and the head of the 1st Division, Geronti Alania, are charged with the same offense. According to the prosecutor's office, Abulashvili's case is similar to the case of Sandro Ghirvliani. In particular, both cases took place in a cemetery in Okrokana village. Because of the ongoing disagreements about the Tbilisi city budget, the council chairman demanded that the Tbilisi government resign. As a reminder, in December 2013, Tbilisi City Council failed to approve the 2014 budget for the capital. The disagreement between the majority and minority is over the budget's priorities. On the 26th of January, dozens of people gathered in Zugdidi to express solidarity with the Ukrainian people. Participants say what is happening in Ukraine right now is important for Georgia, and they support the Ukrainian people's European choice. A Ukraine solidarity rally was also held in Akhaltsikhe, and there have been several support rallies in Ukraine in Tbilisi, each of which has had a few hundred people in attendance. On the 27th of January, the Eurasian Choice Coalition staged a rally outside the Embassy of Ukraine in Tbilisi in support of the government of Ukraine in its ongoing confrontation with the opposition. The gathered protesters demanded a referendum on the political trajectory of Ukraine. Levon Pirveli, a member of the Industrialist Party, said that he's against Georgia's signing of the association agreement because he claims it will leave the country without a future. According to Sweden's Foreign Minister Carl Bildt, the signing is expected sometime before August 2014. Pirveli said that Georgia only has to read the agreement and most Georgian factories won't be able to fulfill its requirements. Which factories are those? He says that it will go bankrupt. According to Pirveli, other party members, including members of parliament Gogi Topadze and Zura Tremeladze, who's quite influential, are against the signing as well. As a reminder, Levon Pirveli is a corrupt jerk. In his latest annual report, NATO chief Anders Fogh Rasmussen wrote that Georgia made good progress in implementing the reforms required to meet NATO standards. The report says that Georgia should continue progress towards civilian military reforms and set out set out in the annual national program. Rasmussen also commented that Georgia pledged to make its own forces available for the NATO response force in 2015. The statement is on the forum. Interesting factoid. Chairman of the Labor Party, Shalva Natalashvili, made a European Court of Human Rights case law precedent for disenfranchisement of voters in Hulo and Kobuleti during the 2004 elections. However, they only awarded him 43 euros, the court fee, though his lawyer walked away with 10,000 euros. Apparently, Shalva displayed, quote, a frivolous and irresponsible attitude towards the court and its proceedings, end quote. Indeed. Which might be why the court found no violations of the other three counts and declined to award him compensation. The decision is on the forum. Following up on last week's story, the 28th of January, Misha spoke at Tufts as the Fletcher School's senior statesman in a speech titled A Region at the Crossroads, The Challenges to Democracy and Western Integration in Eastern Europe, end quote. I mean, that's the title of the thing. Spielpod's very own Fletcher School correspondent asked him about the contradictions between a small government and a more efficient, effective state and how to simultaneously decrease the size of the state but keep it strong. The question was, how would Misha have done things differently if he were to be president again in this regard? Misha's response was pretty vague. He said the way to approach striking such a balance would be to take a strong stance on the government and create a system of balances within it in order to establish efficiency. A more detailed review of his talk to follow in the next podcast. On the 17th of January, 5 days after his arrival in Afghanistan, 29-year-old author and academic Alex Peterson died in a terrorist attack at a Kabul restaurant frequented by foreigners. Peterson was an accomplished scholar, writer, and consultant to governments and private organizations on geopolitics, Central Asia and the Caucasus, Russia, and energy policy. Before his death, he had been working on a biography of Misha. He had many friends and admirers in Georgia, and among those who care about Georgia, rest in peace, Alex. On the 28th of December, the Ministry of Defense unveiled a domestically manufactured command, control, and communications vehicle. The vehicle was manufactured and developed at the Research Center Delta. It was based on the four-wheeled light armored vehicle Dizgori, which was first unveiled in 2011, at least a prototype was. Defense Minister Irakli Alasania said that the vehicle of this type was commissioned to Delta by the Georgian Armed Forces based on lessons learned from the August 2008 war with Russia. These prototypes are great, but really Georgia has no current ability to manufacture much of anything. It would be great if Georgia could look into this seriously because it really could build manufacturing capacity, particularly in military stuff and refitting if it wanted to, but that's a long-term commitment. I mean, right, this was more of a PR exercise. We'll see if it leads anywhere. On the 24th of January, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze opened Larsi Hydropower Plant. The plant has a potential to power tens of thousands of houses. The company Peri started building the HPP on the river Tergi, Kazbegi, in 2011. $20 million was invested in the project. A digital broadcasting agency will be established to prepare the country's digital changeover in June 2015. The agency will be under the Ministry of Economy and it will receive 20 million lari for its operations. It will be responsible for creating broadcasting and electronic communication policies which will assist it with the transition to public broadcasting and other TV to digital broadcasting. As a reminder, the agreement to establish an agency was accepted in 2006 at a conference in Geneva. Georgia, other Caucasian countries, and Iran are all switching to digital. According to Geostat, Georgia's foreign trade increased 6% year-on-year in 2013 to $11 billion. Exports increased 22% to $3 billion, and imports amounted to $8 billion, a 0.4% increase from 2012. Turkey remains Georgia's largest trading partner, followed by Azerbaijan, Ukraine, and finally back on the list, Russia. Unknown assailants beat up an Iraqi student in Kutaisi. According to local media, he was attacked because of his ethnicity and national origins. The Iraqi student is studying medicine at Akaki Tsidateli State University. The student was brought to the hospital and will remain there for several days. It's in pretty serious condition. Employees of the airline Fly Georgia complained to Prime Minister Kharibashvili that the Iranian owners of the company have not paid their salaries. Hushang Hosseinpour, Hussein Farodeh, and Puria Nayebi are the founders and owners of Fly Georgia. The owners explained that their bank accounts are frozen in Georgia, and for this purpose they cannot pay salaries to 100 employees. As a reminder, a number of companies, including Fly Georgia, had their accounts frozen because of their suspected relationship with the government of Iran. Beginning in late May, Rose Revolution Square will be connected to Tatsminda Park with a gondola lift. 3 million lari was allocated for this purpose. McDonald's restaurant, designed by Georgian architect Georgi Khmaladze in Batumi, was nominated for the Building of the Year Award by international architecture firm ArchDaily.com. The website showcases 3,500 projects from around the world before allowing readers to vote for their favorite building. In parliamentary news, Parliament unanimously adopted a statement on the developments in Ukraine. The statement reads, quote, "The Parliament expresses full solidarity with the Ukrainian people's aspirations to become full-fledged members of the European family, and the Parliament is convinced that Russia won't be able to change the European choice of Georgia and Ukraine by forcing them to refuse to sign the association agreement. Parliament voted on 4 candidates for vacancies on the Georgian National Broadcasters Board of Trustees. However, only Leyla Gaprindashvili, who was nominated by the Public Defender, was approved. UNM's candidate Nina Kakavadze and Ajada Supreme Council's nominated candidate Geno Geladze didn't receive enough votes. Public Broadcaster now has a total of 4 board members, but still needs a minimum of 7 to conduct its business. Along with Gaprindashvili, the new trustees are Natella Sakokia, Kedi Mishkeladze, and Marina Mushkelishvili. They came in the first round. Sad that Nina Kakabadze was not approved. She's very smart and an independent person. The fact that even the Republicans didn't vote for her shows how worried the government is about these posts and having truly independent people in there, but also worried about the appearances of appointing obviously controllable people there. Now the Parliament needs to announce another competition for vacancies. As a reminder, the Board of Trustees identified the public broadcaster's programming priorities, deals with staffing issues, terms and conditions of employment contracts, and approves the station's budget. Later, OSCE expressed its disappointment at the inability of the Georgian Parliament to select new board members. The government drafted a bill with amendments to the Code on Imprisonment, illegal to use restraining chairs and beds, rubber batons, tear gas, pepper spray, non-lethal weapons, acoustic means, light sound equipment for psychological impact, water cannons, and dogs, in order to, and I am saying this with air quotes, calm prisoners. The bill also sets a minimum space of 4 square meters per prisoner. Currently, the minimum is 2 square meters. The number of visits per year will also increase, and prisoners will be allowed a longer list of approved visitors. The government also proposes paying compensation to prisoners for doing agricultural work. These are very big steps forward. The Parliament passed a draft on local self-government reform in the second reading. As a reminder, the draft includes direct elections of mayors in 12 towns, as well as direct elections of heads of all municipalities starting from this year's local elections. The initial bill would have introduced direct elections to mayors in towns with a population of at least 15,000 people. This would have made 18 cities and towns eligible. In the current draft, however, the criteria are mainly based on regional centers, which mean that the following towns will elect mayors: Kutaisi and Imereti region, Rustavi and Kvemo Kartli, Poti and Zugdidi and Sambagrelo, Batumi and Ajada, Telavi and Kaheti, Mscheta and Mscheti Mtianeti region, Gori and Shida Kartli, Achaltsiche and Samscha Javacheti, Ambralauri and Racha Lechumi, but not Oni, and Ozurgeti and Guria. UNM argued that it was not a fair criterion because Mscheta, which has less than 8,000 residents, will be able to elect a mayor, but much larger towns such as Samtredi or Khashuri, which have populations of more than 25,000, will not be able to. On the regional level, according to the bill, provincial governors will remain appointed by the central government. There are 2 key issues which the proposed bill does not address: taxes and the electoral system. An interfactional group with representatives of political parties is drafting legislation now to detail the electoral code for the local elections in June. With respect to taxes, a draft law will be elaborated before September 2014. It'll introduce a new distribution scheme to allocate money between the local and central budgets. One of the possible proposals will be to keep a portion of the revenues from income tax in the local municipality budget. As a reminder, currently only revenues from property tax are left in the localities. Their main source of income is money transferred from the central government. The question of elections is important, but also how the money moves is very, very important. Having elected local government, as any democratic country has, will be a disaster if the central government gives itself the right to control them via funding. It will discredit the whole exercise. Also very, very important is that these elections are held with a 50% threshold. The national movement changed it for political reasons, as I mentioned before, but under a 50% threshold, it would be a disaster because then the ruling party candidate could be elected without a majority. I mean, in fact, it would be the ruling party candidate. Theoretically, it could be anybody else, but that's what we're talking about. What Sneba is talking about, a 40% threshold, which would be cowardly and horrible if it passed. The meme this week, following Paris and New York, Tbilisi, I Love You, became the next film in Emmanuel Benbi's Cities of Love. The film is a series of 10 completed short films produced by Dato and Nika Agiashvili through Storyman Pictures. Each is a personal narrative about Tbilisi. The official trailer of the movie is online. We will post it on the forum for your viewing pleasure. Stuff to read. An article by Ann Applebaum in the Washington Post about Ukraine. It's quite a good one, according to the author. The events in Kiev are so violent and so contrary to what anyone had expected, they should lead us to abandon the myth of the color revolutions. The belief that peaceful demonstrations, aided by a bit of Western media training, will eventually rise up and nonviolently overthrow the corrupt oligarchs that have run most of the post-Soviet sphere since 1991 is a little silly. The author says that the history of Ukraine from the 2004 Orange Revolution now has proved false. In fact, corrupt oligarchs backed by Russian money and Russian political technology are a lot stronger than anyone expected them to be. The author also highlighted that Ukraine's current political struggle should convince us to abandon another myth as well. The belief that some kind of post-Cold War order still prevails in Europe and the U.S. is an important part of it. It's pretty bleak, but probably a good thing to recognize. Misha's article, Why the West Must Join the Ukraine Protesters, in the Wall Street Journal. According to him, the triumph of the Ukrainian protesters would mark the end of Putin's dream of a restored Russian empire. Their defeat, on the other hand, would mean a huge rollback of European influence and values. He directly blames Putin of being behind the crackdown in Kiev, just as his hand is at work in Bashar al-Assad's massacres of Syrians and the Iranian nuclear weapons program. Misha advises Western governments to sanction Ukrainian leadership and oligarchs and to act resolutely before it's too late. For example, the U.S. putting visa restrictions on, which is the U.K. putting visa restrictions on, which is great. The U.S. too, but especially the U.K. An article by the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, about an Interior Ministry officer who is collecting information on the Georgian National Communications Commission. According to TI, Zaza Mazmiashvili, nicknamed the General by the regulatory staff, collects information about the agency's activities and employees. In response to an information request, the GNCC stated that Mazmiashvili, who was listed on the staff section of the GNCC's website, was born on the 30th of June, 1963. Because of his birthday, TI was able to show that Mazmiashvili is the same individual who filled a public asset declaration as a head of the Ministry of Internal Affairs Division. The GNCC previously rejected a request by TI Georgia to release his CV because he is not a public official. The ministry repeatedly denied that it has representatives at independent government bodies such as the GNCC or the Georgian Public Broadcaster and referred to TI's Georgia findings as not serious. However, BI publicly admitted this practice exists and described it as problematic. Great job, TI. Let's hope that one day journalists will also stop this type of investigative journalism rather than only television. I mean, rather than only TI. An article going way back to 2008 by Noreen Malone that just floated across the tpopod.com desk and slate.com titled, Why Are Georgia and Georgia Both Named Georgia? According to the author, both the country that was formerly part of the USSR and the state in the American Deep South got their present-day names from the British. The name comes from the Russian word Gruzia, which was in turn derived from the Persian or Turkish version of the name George, Gurj and Gurj. It's not clear when the British started using the word Georgia in place of Gruzia, but scholars believe that the switch happened sometimes in the late Middle Ages. The American Georgia, on the other hand, was named after King George II of England, who was granted the state its charter in 1732. The name George became popular in Western Europe only after the Crusades, when knights traveling to the Holy Land came in contact with the widespread veneration of the saint among Eastern Christians in places like Georgia. Meanwhile, the saint's name derives from the Greek and refers to somebody who tills the land. All these things to read will be posted in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 65, which is the percentage of Georgians who think that volunteerism is an important part of being a good citizen. According to CRC's caucuses barometer in 2012, 5% of people questioned think the opposite. The rest of the study shows that 24% of Armenians, 21% of Azerbaijanis, and 14% of Georgians had volunteered without compensation. The average level of volunteerism in the South Caucasus region is 20%. 2012 data shows that volunteering was perceived as extremely important for being a good citizen by 39% of Armenians and 27% of Azerbaijanis. Some announcements. Till the 4th of February, Baia Gallery will host a photography exhibition by Mike Bourgault titled From Surf City to the Caucasus, My Journey. The address is 10 Chardenny Street. More details to follow on the Facebook page, which we will we will post on the forum. On the 5th of February, 6:15, ISET will be hosting the spring session of the Works in Progress. Becca Kobachidze from TSU will speak about the Georgian question at the Paris Conference in 1919. The session is free and open to the public. The address is 16 Zandukheli Street. This is a very, very interesting topic. Go if you can. On the 6th of February at 6 p.m., the gallery Nectar will host an exhibition by well-known Austrian artist Kat Sadler. The exhibition explores neocolonialism and its Bakhtinian dialogism between the colonizer and the colonized. The installation addresses the issue of Europeanness, both imposed by the West and aimed at by non-Westerners. The address is 16 Agmashenabeli. This will be interesting. Also highly recommended by Tpilpod.com's arts and events staff. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tpilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tpilpod.com. We'll wind up with the New Orleans own Sidney Bechet right out of the 7th Ward from 1956 and the recording of the classic Old Stackily Blues.